Literature Spot B, pages 87 to 88.
Around the World in 80 Days by Jules Verne. The story, set in 1873 CE, is about an Englishman, Mr. Phileas Fogg, who is trying to complete a journey around the world in 80 days. At this point in the story, he and his travelling companion, the Frenchman, Mr. Passepartout, are travelling through India by train. They have befriended another traveller, Sir Francis Cromarty. The train stopped at 8 o'clock in the midst of a glade some 15 miles beyond Rotha, where there were several bungalows and workmen's cabins. The conductor, passing along the carriages, shouted,
"Passengers will get out here."
"Where are we?"
asked Sir Francis.
"At the hamlet of Colby."
"Do we stop here?"
"Certainly. The railway isn't finished."
"What? Not finished?"
"No. There's still a matter of 50 miles to be laid from here to Allahabad, where the line begins again."
"Yet you sell tickets from Bombay to Calcutta,"
retorted Sir Francis, who was growing warm.
"No doubt,"
replied the conductor.
"But the passengers know that they must provide means of transportation for themselves from Colby to Allahabad."
"Sir Francis,"
said Mr. Fogg quietly,
"we will, if you please, look about for some means of conveyance to Allahabad."
"Mr. Fogg, this is a delay greatly to your disadvantage."
"No, Sir Francis. It was foreseen."
"What? You knew that the way?"
"Not at all. But I knew that some obstacle or other would sooner or later arise on my route. Nothing, therefore, is lost. I have 2 gained days to sacrifice. A steamer leaves Calcutta for Hong Kong at noon on the 25th. This is the 22nd, and we shall reach Calcutta in time."
There was nothing to say to so confident a response. Mr. Fogg and Sir Francis Cromarty, after searching the village from end to end, came back without having found anything.
"I shall go afoot,"
said Phileas Fogg. Passepartout, who had now rejoined his master, made a wry grimace as he thought of his magnificent but too frail Indian shoes. After a moment's hesitation, he said,
"Monsieur, I think I have found a means of conveyance."
"What?"
"An elephant. An elephant that belongs to an Indian who lives but 100 steps from here."
"Let's go and see the elephant,"
replied Mr. Fogg. They soon reached a small hut. Enclosed within some high palings was the animal in question. An Indian came out of the hut and, at their request, conducted them within the enclosure. The elephant, which was reared, not to be an animal that merely carried things around, but for warlike purposes, was half domesticated. Happily, however, for Mr. Fogg, the animal's instruction in this direction had not gone far, and the elephant still preserved its natural gentleness. Kayuni, this was the name of the elephant, could doubtless travel rapidly for a long time, and, in default of any other means of conveyance, Mr. Fogg resolved to hire him. However, elephants are far from being cheap in India, as they are becoming scarce. Male elephants, as they are only suitable for circus shows, are much sought after, especially as the majority are domesticated. When, therefore, Mr. Fogg proposed to the Indian to hire Kayuni, he refused point blank. Mr. Fogg persisted, offering the excessive sum of £10 an hour for the loan of the elephant to Allahabad. Refused. £20? Refused also. £40? Still refused. Phileas Fogg, without getting in the least flurried, then proposed to purchase the animal outright, and at first offered £1,000 for him. The Indian, perhaps thinking he was going to make a great bargain, still refused. At £2,000, the Indian yielded.
"What a price, good heavens!"
cried Passepartout.
"For an elephant."
It only remained now to find a guide, which was comparatively easy. A young Parsi with an intelligent face offered his services, which Mr. Fogg accepted, promising so generous a reward as to materially stimulate his zeal. The elephant was led out and equipped. Provisions were purchased at Colby, and while Sir Francis and Mr. Fogg took the howdahs on either side, Passepartout got astride the saddlecloth between them. The Parsi perched himself on the elephant's neck, and at 9 o'clock they set out from the village, the animal marching off through the dense forest of the palms by the shortest cut.